says, before the tape ran out, if she is innocent, then God will send a blessing. She'll be blessed with a child. And, of course, her reputation has been reestablished. Okay. So far, so good. The tractate then, from the point of view of halacha, deals with the various laws pertaining to how the procedure is to be carried out, beginning from the time, that the declaration of suspicion is made by the husband, the warning given to her, right through the conclusion of the sota ceremony. Needless to say, the punishment is not only to her, but the punishment will also be to the boel, in other words, to the paramour, if he was also guilty. Now, at this particular point, which covers the first six chapters that we studied in the Masechta Sota, we now take a different turn and we begin dealing with things which started originally from Sota. Namely, Elo Ne'emorim B'chol Loshon, that there are things that can be recited in any language whatever, as for example, the Sota, ceremony Sota, the priest can talk to whatever language he understands, but then it goes into the fact that, of course, also when it comes to such things as reciting the Shema Yisrael, Shmona Esrei, benching, these things, of course, can also be done in any language, whatever. If we don't understand it, we can't read Hebrew, we're not relieved of the obligation of expressing our gratitude to God, and therefore these things can be said in whatever language that they can. But on the other hand, the Torah has also given a list of different things wherein the Torah says, the rabbis interpret specifically the injunction of the Torah to mean that it can only be said in the Lashon Kodesh. In other words, in the holy tongue. Okay? Now, I'm not going to enumerate each and every one of these things because of the time, but for example, Birkas Kohanim. When the Kohen goes up to Duchen, he can't Duchen in English. He can't Duchen in any language except that he has to Duchen and he has to recite the Bracha in Hebrew. Because the Torah says specifically, that it's Amor Lahem, you have to say the following things, Yivarecha Hashem, Yishvarecha, and so on and so on. So that has to be in Hebrew. But there are also other things as well, as for example, the Brochas and Kolos and Hagrizim, Har-Evil. Remember when they came to the land of Israel, then there's a ceremony wherein the tribes are divided into two groups. One faces Har-Evil, the other one Hagrizim. The Kohanim are in the middle and so on, and they recite brachas and klolos, and that has to be in Lashon Kodesh, or the special prayer that the Kohen Gadol has to recite on Yom Kippur also has to be in Hebrew, particularly the reading of the Torah. He can't read it in French or English, or he has to read it in Hebrew and so on and so forth. Okay, so these are just some of the things that I mentioned. Then the following chapter deals with Moshuach Milchama, the fact that a priest, a Kohen, is appointed in order to serve he's appointed to serve as an army chaplain, so to speak, and he's the one who has to make the declarations to the soldiers that if, for example, they have betrothed a woman, that is, she is legally, from a Jewish point of view, betrothal already means that she is his wife, but he hasn't had a chance yet to live with her for a year. Then in that particular case, he's excused, and he goes home, okay? And the same thing is true of some other cases. Like he bought a new home, he hasn't had a chance yet to dedicate the home, to live in it, and so on and so on. So these are certain things that excuse a person from military service. And of course, we're talking, as the Gemara explains in Chemes Rishus, that this is a war, which is not an obligation, but it is a war, for example, let's say, to conquer other nations, to expand the territory. But if it is a war wherein your life is threatened, then in that particular case, for that there's no excuse. Then you have to do your duty, and you have to fight yourself. But if you remember, the portion of the Torah also expresses the fact that if a person says that he is Yorei Barach HaLevav, that he is fearful, he is tender-hearted, he can't bear the idea of fighting his own, then of course that's also grounds for dismissal from fighting at the front. And finally, they have the chapter of Eglah Rufa, which deals with a problem wherein they find a corpse. They don't know who killed this particular person. He was murdered, right? And so they have the ceremony of measuring to see which city is closest to the corpse. And then the elders of that city have to go and they have to bring an Eglah Rufa. In other words, they have to bring a heifer and break its neck and so on. And then say, Yodeinu lo shofres hadom hazeh, our hands did not shed this blood, nor did we see. And then the Gemara, of course, goes into the moral lesson. Well, how come that such a thing would happen in the first place, you see? And it states the fact that it happened because the elders of the city, the people, when a stranger came into their midst, they didn't take the trouble in order to see what are his needs, to give him food, to escort him on the way, to make sure that he wouldn't be attacked by, and so on and so forth. So that we learned many, many moral lessons from everything that we had in this particular tractate. We learned, for example, the importance of marital fidelity and the damage that is done when a marriage suffers from infidelity. We learned that, for example, the Spirit of God is present in an ish and an isha. But God forbid, if God is not present in their union, then it becomes ish, right? It becomes a fire instead of ish and isha, okay? We learned also the doctrine of midah keneged midah, that Hashem deals with us the way we act towards other people, and so that in like measure we will either be punished or we will be rewarded, depending upon our own actions and how we deal with other people. We learn of the importance of imitating the Rabbeinu Shalom and how to serve God. Is it better to serve Him from ahava, from love of God, or to serve Him from yirah, from fear of God? Of course, love of God is considered even a finer way to do it. And then we have many, many other agaritas that we have. You know, when we study Maseches Sota, it seems like some of the teachings that we have, stories concerning Moshe, Miriam, and Yosef and Potiphar's wife, and all kinds of other, Shimshon and Samson, you know, and his story, and so on and so forth, and David and Avshalom, and so on. It seems that they're old friends to us. How do they become old friends? I'll tell you how. Because Rashi quotes them. This is the source where Rashi gets a lot of his interpretations for the various stories, you know, concerning these great events, great personalities in the Torah. So there is so much to learn in Maseches Sota, and that's why I say that Hadron, we hope that we will come back again and learn it once more. And so I'd like to go through it right now. I don't think that we have a minute to do it, so I'll have to be cottage, but nevertheless, the rest of it I can do right now. Okay. There is a formula in which we say, we come back, hopefully, to you. Adon Olecha, Maseches Sota v'Adon Olon, Adon Olach, Maseches Sota v'Ratach Alon, Oslashi Menoch, Maseches Sota v'Oslashi Menoch, Lo Do'ol Bo'odem, Lo Do'ol Bo'osim. Yivarzol Mefonecho, Adon Yom Haseinu, Shetet Rasul, Bo'maseinu Bo'elam Hazeh, Seyimonu Bo'yom Habo. Adinu Ba'Popo, Obi Ba'Popo, Dachman Ba'Popo, Alcha Ba'Popo, Abba Ba'Mori Ba'Popo, Rafam Ba'Popo, Rochish Ba'Popo, Sucha Ba'Popo, Oda Ba'Popo, Noah Ba'Popo. Harev no Abnoi Vahim is the place also the Tinnah to your son for Beis Israel, Zri Anachman Kolono, which is the Reinen, the Priyam for Beis Israel, Kolono, Yodahei Shalom, and Yodahei Shalom, Seva. We pray to God that He may make the words of Torah sweet unto us, and unto all our children, may we be blessed with children who will also know the meaning of God in their lives and learn His Torah. The Oyavite Hakmanim is a Seho, the Yonam Hibi, 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 the Yonam We do have a minion now?
Yeah, a minion, yeah.
In that case, I'm going to ask you please to rise while I recite the special Kaddish of the Messiah. Yisgadal v'yisgadah shemei rabor Yomor dehu atzim yisgadato ulachayo neisayo ulachoka lachay omor levdei kaltud yishleim ושכלל היכולי בגבור ועקב פוחונו מלכור ביערו ועקב פוחונו דשמי לעשרי ים לקוד שבריך במלכותי ניקורי חיי כל יוני כל וחיי לכל בית ישראל בעדלו יסתן כביר אם הוא עמי יהי שווה רבו נבורך יומר מלומי עומיו יסבורך ויסתבך ויסבורך ויסרימם ויסנסה יסדל ויסלב יסלל שמי לקוד שבריך לאלו מן כל בחוסו ושבסות ושבסו ונחם עושות אמירו מיום ואם הוא עמי עד ישראל ויהל רבו נמיהל תמידי הום יעקב תלמידי תלמידי הון יעקב מן ליאס ומראי סוד ידיעת חודם ודברו עשה ועשר יאלה הון ולכם ושלמה רבו חינו וחיסת ורחת וחייבית אם זה בבריך וכמכם וכמרון וישמעי ויערו ואימו אמן יאי שלמה רבו וישמעי וחיים תלמודים ויעקב ישראל ואימו אמן עושה שלום נמרימו ויעשה שלום מודים ויעקב ישראל ואימו
אמן.
I have to tell you, my mind is up there someplace. Got to do the rest. So you know what? Let's eat. And then we'll come back and we'll finish.
Time by now. Okay.
The Gemara continues now on Mem Tes Amud Beis by saying Be'ikvot Mashiach, which means literally in the footsteps of the Mashiach. In other words, as the Mashiach time is approaching to us, we would think that things are going to get better. On the contrary, the Gemara says that things are going to get worse. Why? First of all, chutzpah yitzchah. Chutzpah, I think we all know what chutzpah is. Yitzchah is Aramaic, which means it will increase. So in other words, there'll be more and more chutzpah in the world. Okay? The yoker yamir. And what is the meaning of the word yoker over here is a little bit subject to dispute. Normally the word yoker in Hebrew refers to a scarcity of food, that you have to pay a lot of money, you know, because if you want something and you don't have enough commodity around, so you have to pay heavy, okay? So possibly it means the yoker yavir, except that they're going to mention again yoker in just a few moments. So that's one possibility. In other words, what shall we say? Rising prices, inflation will increase. Okay? Hagefen detain piryav hayayim biyoker. This is why I say the word yoker again is used again. Meaning is that the grapevine will give forth its fruit. In other words, there'll be plenty of grapes available, right? But wine, nevertheless, is going to cost a lot of money. See the word biyoker over here. Why will it cost so much money? So as Rashi said, because everybody will be having parties, they'll be drinking themselves under the table, and as a result, even though there are lots of grapes around, but nevertheless, it's going to be hard to find a bottle of wine, you have to pay extra for it, okay? Doesn't sound familiar. Malchus teofech minutes, and the kingdom will turn literally to minutes. Minutes means apostasy. Now the question is, what is the meaning of this? So the average interpretation is that we're talking about the fact that the kingdom of Rome is going to turn towards Christianity, which it was a blessing and not a blessing for the Jewish people, because Christianity, unfortunately, saw in Judaism a competitor, and under many of the Roman rulers who had turned Christian, we also had more persecution. Okay? And then, the tradition says, V'yein tochachos, right? And not only that, but there's nobody to rebuke. Nobody is going to criticize the generation. Very contemporary again. Beis Vadi and Esnus, and it says that the meeting places will become places for fornication. V'hagolil yecharav, the Galilee will be destroyed. V'hagavlo and Yishom, and the Golan Heights will become desolate. The Anshe Hagbul Yisovavu Meir Leir, and people who live on the border will go from city to city, the Lo Yechunono, and they will not find people who will take pity upon them, the fact that they have to wander from place to place. The Chochmos Sofrim Tisrach, and the wisdom of scholars is going to become literally putrid. In other words, people will not pay the slightest attention to whatever these scholars are saying. They'll look with contempt upon people who are scholars. The Yirei Chet Yuma'asu, and those who literally fear sin, in other words, people who are deeply religious, they will be despised. The Ha'emes Tehene Deres, in truth, will be missing. The Orim Pnei Zekenim Yalbinu, the young people will make the elders ashamed because of their actions. Zakenim Yandu Batekatanim, the elders will have to stand in the presence of the young ones, right? In other words, instead of the other way around, that the young stand in order to show respect to the older people, so it's called Fakir, you know, that the older people will have to show respect to the young ones, because unfortunately they can't help themselves, whatever they do. Bain Menavir Og, a son will bring contempt to his father. Bas Komo Behimo, the daughter will turn against her mother. Kalo Bechamoisa, the daughter-in-law will turn against the mother-in-law. Oyeve Ish Anshe Beisa, and the people in your own household will become your own enemies. Families will be torn, will turn against each other. Pnei Hador is a very famous quotation. Pnei Hador, literally, the face of the generation, Kipnei Hakel, will be like the face of a dog. In other words, what it means is that the generation itself will be going to the dogs, right? But there's a very famous interpretation, quoted in the Chulin Vassaman, who says that when you take a look, you know, the word Pnei Hador in Hebrew also could mean the important people of the generation. So they will be like a dog. In what respect? So Rabbi Chaim Wasser is a friend of Bocha, said that if you see a dog leads his master, right? But he always turns around to see what is the master doing. In other words, the dog thinks that he is the boss, right? But in reality, the strings are being pulled by somebody else. So the same thing again. The important people of the generation will think that they are the leaders, but they're not true leaders, because they're always looking back to see what did the polls have to say, right? Yeah, Habein and Amisdayesh Beyoviv, right? And the son is not ashamed in the presence of his father. So therefore, what do we have upon which to lean? The answer is only Alavinu Shabbat Shemayim and our Father in Heaven. Now, the Gemara continues, and it speaks first about a part of the Mishnah that I didn't speak about yet. It said that as a result of the wars of the Romans against the Jewish people, so the Kalos, who used to wear crowns on their head the day when they were married, the Chachamim made a kneeling not to do it. It's a sign of mourning, obviously. So Omar Rab, Leshadu Elishel Melch Degopis. This is very interesting. It says that the women who were getting married, they would make like a crown out of salt and sulfur. So Rashi explains, they would take a block of salt, which is transparent, a
and then make figures on it with the sulfur so that they have all kinds of designs. Well, that was the custom in those days. At any rate, they did away with that. Avol shel hadas v'shel deret, however, it is permitted to use either myrtles or roses, that, in other words, a wreath of flowers or myrtle leaves is something that would be permitted. V'shmuel omer, but Shmuel says, av shel hadas v'shel deret also. He says it's not permitted, but shel konim v'shel cheles mutar. Only a wreath which is made out of reeds. V'levi omar, and Levi says, av shel konim v'shel cheles also. He also prohibits it. He prohibits even this. Again, as I said, because of the sign of mourning, right? Echein toni Levi must be say, and so Levi also thought in his Mishnah, Av shel kon mishel chenasos, that's quoted. Then another reading that they made, the Alho Eiris. So the Gemara says, what is an Eiris? My Eiris. So he says, Amar Belo, so Rabbi, let's explain that this is Havlo Chad Tuba. It's a drum which has only one skin. And they would attach like little bells or something on it, and they would beat upon it, and they would use it for singing. So he says that that would be prohibited. But at this point, Omer Rabbi Bar Chama, he says, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, and then Rabbi Yochanan, he says, skip on that, right. Rabbi Bar Huna, right, Ovad Leib, the Bray, Tambura. So, Rabbah, the son of Rav Huna, made for his son, obviously for his son's wedding, he made a tambour. A tambour is like the French word tambour, and so in other words, it means a drum which is made out of, there are two skins, alright? Top and bottom, right, okay? Also, Abuha, so his father came along, and Tabra, and he broke it. Omalei, Nechni B'Tavli D'Chad Huna, says, what I want you to do is to put in its place, instead, a drum which has only one skin. Zil ovid lei, apumid achatzwar, o apumid achabiz. So go, it says, and make it either by putting it on, stretching it on a jug, or on a larger type of a jug. In other words, you put a skin on it, and you stretch it, and so on, and then that would make it a permissible type of a drum. But not, a real fancy drum. Then we learned also the Pumush of Titus in the war that Titus raged against the Jewish people. So those were our Torah colors, and that's when the prohibition against the crowns for the colors. So again, my Atros colors, what kind of crowns were they? Omer Amar Chana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Irsho Zohar. They made a crown which had a representation of Yerushalayim, and it was made in gold. We learned that Rabbi Akiva, for example, made for his wife after he became a great scholar and he attained to some wealth finally. Of course, remember, he was a poor shepherd all of his life, and so on. So finally, he made her a Yerushal Zohar. Okay? So, this was. About also, Gemara says that this will be prohibited as a result of mourning and all of the great tragedies that took place. Abal also saw kippah shomeres, but he can make for her a kippah, that's where the word is, right, made of fine wool. Tano apal chuppas chatzonim gosh. Then we have another tradition that says that even for the chuppah that they made for chatzonim, in other words, for getting married, the chuppah, so they also made a decree. And the Gemara wants to know again by Chuppas Chatzonim, well, what kind of a Chuppah did they make a decree against? So he says, Zohoris HaMitzchavos, this is a canopy, where the canopy was made out of very fine crimson wool and with gold threads. So that they issued a decree against again for mourning. Tanya Namechachim, we have learned likewise another tradition that says, Elohim Chuppas Chatzonim, Zohoris HaMitzchavos. What is this type? Abol Oseh Papyrus, but he is permitted to take, let's say, papyrus, reeds, from which they also eventually will also make paper. But the Torah Bo Komashi Yitzhak, with these reeds, he could hang whatever he wishes to do as the decoration. Tanu Rabbanan. And here we have an interesting story mentioned to us. Kishatzor Malchi Beit Chashbonai Zeh, in a civil war among the last of the descendants of the house of the Chashbonai. In other words, the descendants of the, the Maccabees and so on, right, who created the dynasty. There were two sons. One was Hyrcanus and the other one was Aristobulus. Fine brothers, they hated each other, I don't have to tell you. So it says, Hoya Hyrcanus Bilachut, Hyrcanus was outside Yerushalayim, the Aristobulus Bibnim. Aristobulus was inside Yerushalayim. Now, this is the time, of course, when the Beis HaMikdash was still in existence, and they wanted to bring korbanos, okay? Particularly the, you know, the comet, the daily sacrifice that was made. So it says, "V'chol yom v'yom," every day, "hoyim shalshin yidor mikupa," they would lower down a basket with a load of money, "umalim lehen tamir," and then they would raise up in this basket, they would bring up the animal that was going to be used for the sacrifice. Okay? Sounds fine so far. Hoyashom Zokin Echad, so there was a certain elderly gentleman over there, Shehoya Makya Bechotmas Yeronis, who knew, he was very well acquainted with Greek philosophy, science, etc., etc. Okay? And obviously, his head had been turned as a result of his studies. So, Loaz Lahem, so as a result, he spoke to the army outside in Greek so that the people in Yerushalayim should understand what he's saying. And Amalahin, he said to them, as long as they are still carrying on the temple service, then Einim so liyethem, then they will never be handed over into your hands. In other words, they will not be given over into your power. So the Mochor, the following day, Shilshalahim did on the Kufa. Again, they lowered the basket, you know, with the money in it. The Ha'alu Lahim Chazer. But what did they substitute? They put in the basket a Chazer. Kevin Shehigia Lachzi Chayma. When he got halfway up the wall, Noah Siponov, so he stuck his hooks into the wall, and his Dazar Zisrael Abadeus Pasa. And the result was a shock that could be found, that where you could actually experience the shock of this for 400 parasites. In other words, miles and miles and miles in Eretz Yisrael. Also, sure, as a result of that, at that moment, Amru, they said, Orur Odom Shegad El Chazirim, cursed be a person who raises chazars. The Orur Odom Shelami Nevdor Chot Masimonis, and cursed be a man who will teach his son Greek wisdom, Greek philosophy, and so on. Yalois of Shono, and that year, Shoninu, we learned that Maase Ugo Ome Migados Trithim, and Migados Trithim, which they left with Mikas, and so forth. Normally, the Omer, which had to be brought on the second day of Pesach to the Beis HaMikdash, came from Bali, which was reaped the night, you know, right after the first day was over. That night the Kohanim would go out to the special field, and there they would reap the Bali, and then they would prepare it in order to bring the Omer, the Nukas Omer, to the Beis HaMikdash on the second day of Pesach. Okay? That year they had to go far afield because around Yerushalayim there simply wasn't enough grain going to make it possible. And the same thing happened with the Shtei HaLechem, where with the holiday of Shavuos, they needed also grain, wheat, you know, this time, in order to make two loaves of bread that were brought to the place of Mikdash, and they had to go to a place called Ein Sofer, which again was at a distance. So the Gemara says, Eini, is this so? Omar Rabbi, Beret Yisrael, Shem Sur, Silomo, don't we have a statement made by Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi who said, in Eretz Yisrael, what do we need the Syriac language? Why do we need it? Syriac is like Western Aramaic, okay? It's a form of Aramaic, okay? So what do we need that language for? Elo, E, Lashon HaKodesh, E, Lashon Yevonis. Either
people should use Hebrew, pure Hebrew, Lashon Kodesh, or they should use Greek in those words, because dealing with the average person over there, Greek was the language. And this is what Rabbi Yehuda Anossi said. So the other Rabbi Yosef said, the Bavel, you know, along the same lines, in Babylonia, Lashon Arami Lama, why do we need the Aramaic language? Ela o Lashon HaKodesh, or Lashon Parsing. Rather, either we speak Lashon Kodesh, or we speak the Persian language, because Persian is not Aramaic. I mean, you know, that's a language that is still, you know, that the Parsi language still exists in certain parts of Iran or India today. So, obviously, what do we see from this? We see from this that for example, Greek was the language of according to Rabbi Yehuda, you know, you should learn. So, therefore, the Gemara says, Yevonis the foot, the Chokmas Yevonis the foot. Since we're talking about two different things. The language, yeah, because if you have to deal with people, then you have to know how to talk their language. So that's okay. But the Chokmas Yevonis, in other words, the Greek philosophy, the Greek theology, and so on, that's a different story. So now they ask the question, the Chokmas Yevonis, the Asirah, and tell me, is that prohibited? Omar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Mishum Rav Shimon Avliyo, when you say the name Rav Shimon Avliyo, says, my Ditziv, what is the meaning of Eini Oilelon Anashim Mikol B'nei Ziri, that my eye brings tragedy to my soul even more than the daughters of my city? It's a pasuk in Lamentations in Eichot. So he says, Elif Yelodim, there were 1,000 children, Hoyu B'vei Sabot, in my father's house, Chamesh Meyos Lomdu Torah, Chamesh Meyos Lomdu Chachmas Yevonis. 500 of them learned Torah, and 500 of them learned Greek knowledge, right? Velo Nishaya Mehem Elani. And I'm the only survivor of all those who studied Greek language. The rest of all what happened? Assimilated, gone, that's all. Okay? Elani Khan, yes, it's I over here. Well, then Achi, and also then Achi Abba, he says, and the son of my father's brother, in other words, my cousin, right, in the Asi. So they say, Shani Shabbat Rabbi Yabliel. Says, this is an exception. The family of Rabbi Yabliel, why? The trouble of the Malchus happened, because they were close to the royal authorities in Rome. And therefore, they had to know how to talk to them on their own language, right? The Tanya, as we have learned, Mesapir Kulmi Hareze Medachim Vemori. If a person lets his hair grow in the back and has a great big glories, a great big lock of hair with a ponytail, which is how the Greeks and the Romans went around in those days, so this is imitating the goyim, which is a prohibited thing. You have to learn how to behave like a Jew, okay? I don't know what they think about all the kids that you see today with ponytails, the boys running around, or about the 100 pairs of earrings and stuff and so on. Well, anyway, Aftulos ben Ruvain, yeah, Hitiru, the Sapir coming. There was a certain Aptulos, the son of Ruvain, whom they did permit to go this way. Why? The Kurban Malchus happened, because he was Jew Koran Malchus, he was close to the royal authority, so he had to look like a Roman in order to deal with them, okay? But that was because he had an official position to work with the Malchus. So they found Gabriel Hittir and the Hen Chokmas Yevonis. And so for the same reason they permitted the family of Rabbi Gamliel to learn Greek philosophy, if they should come to Malchus, because they were close to him. Tana Rabbani. Sages taught us Shmei Mishameis Rabbi Eliezer, that when Rabbi Eliezer died, Nigna Sefer Torah. It's as if the Torah was buried together with him. That's how great a scholar he was. Mishameis Rabbi Yeshua, when Rabbi Yeshua died, Potla Eitzel Machshava, then wise counsel and thought passed along with him.
Shemais Rabbi Akiva. When Rabbi Akiva died, what lose away Torah? The Mistatnu Mainas HaKotel. Then the strong arms of Torah became useless, and the wells of wisdom became shut up. Mishameis Rabbi Elozer ben Azario, when Rabbi Elozer ben Azario passed away, then Botlu Atros Chochma, the grounds of wisdom, also became null, She Ateres HaKodim Oshma, because the crown of the wise is their wealth. Now, I don't know how to interpret exactly that. It doesn't mean that the wise are all going to become millionaires, but rather it seems to me that the meaning is that the wisdom that they have, this is the true wealth that Chachamim have. Bishameis Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, when Rabbi Chanina Mendoza passed away, Otluan Shemasa, then those who were able to perform all kinds of miracles passed away. Bishameis Abba Yosef ben Katunusa, when he died, then Botlu Chassid, then in that case, people who were as pious as he, no longer they ceased. Why was his name called Abba Yosef, the son of Katunto? Katunto Shehoyomik Tani Chassid, because he was among, literally, the most minor of the Chassid, in other words, an even greater Chassid than before. Bishameis Ben Azai, when Ben Azai passed away, Botu Ashatanim, then you don't have any more people who studied Torah with the same same devotion day and night as Ben Azai. Mishameis Ben Zoma, when Ben Zoma passed away, Batla Darshanim, you no longer have people who are able to interpret Torah as beautifully as he was able to. Mishameis Rabbi Shimon Ben Galiel, when Rabbi Shimon Ben Galiel passed away, then all of Govai and Rabbi Tzoros, then locusts came and attacked the fields in Eretz Israel, and all kinds of Tzoros increased. Mishameis Rabbi, when Rabbi passed away, Uchtaru Tzoros, then the Tzoros became even double. Mishameis Rabbi Botla Anova V'Yirasve, when Rabbi passed away, that's Rabbi Yehuda Nosi, then modesty and fear of sin also ceased. So Omodei Rabbi Yosef, the Tana, Rabbi Yosef said to the Tana, to the person who was reciting this particular tradition, he says, Lo tisne anova. He says, don't say that there is no longer any anova. Don't teach that. Why? The ika anova, because I am an anova. Omale Rab Nachman Tana, and Rab Nachman said likewise to the person who was giving the sermon for him. He says, Lo tisne yiraschek. Don't say either that yiraschek to stop. Why? The ika anova, because I'm still around, of course. Of course, we may think that the thing's a little bit funny, so the Maharshal explains that, well, the basic reason is, first of all, we don't want to tamper with the text, and if this was the tradition, this was the tradition. But maybe we can see in this a spirit of hope. We see that the last few Dapim deal with how things are getting bad and bad and worse and worse and worse and worse, if there is such a word in English, okay? But nevertheless, Baruch Hashem, we are living in an age where there is a new interest in Torah, and maybe what he wanted to indicate when he said the Ika Ano, that I am still around over here, is the fact that we can still have hope to have a generation of people who are learned in Torah, who observe mitzvahs and who are generational. So, I hope that the food hasn't gotten too cold in the interim, but at any rate, I'm looking forward that next week we start Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Okay.
Now we can.